America's beverage companies are investing in America. We're American companies, making American products with American workers in America's hometowns. We're local bottlers and manufacturers, operating in all 50 states, employing more than 275,000 Americans in good-paying jobs, delivering for the nation, because we believe in the promise of America and the people who make it great. Learn more at WeDeliverForAmerica.org. Paid for by the American Beverage Association.
Parents of tweens, if you're familiar with far-off drop-offs...
Dad, stop, 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 right here.
Or get DMs about what's for dinner, you may be experiencing tween milestones. For your son or daughter, these can start at age 9. HPV vaccination, a type of cancer prevention against certain HPV-related cancers, can start then too.
For most, HPV clears on its own. But for those who don't clear the virus, it can cause certain cancers later in life.
Embrace this phase. Help protect them in the next.
Ask their doctor today about HPV vaccination. Brought to you by Merck.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Jonathan DeBurka Butler here is here once again to bring us some stories from other parts of the world. Jonathan,
Sean, good afternoon.
Now, I think you have told us before about how the Wagner Group were in Mali, but they're saying now, job done, we're all going home.
Yes, they've announced that they're withdrawing from Mali following what it called the completion of its mission, right? So it's been operating there since 2021 and it's been working, as they say, with the military to challenge Islamist militants, right? So they said in a statement that they fought terrorism side by side with the people of Mali, Sean, killing thousands of militants and their commanders who terrorized civilians for years. Now, it should be said that before they were there, there were French troops, and the French troops were kicked out. They were asked to leave the country in 2022 by the military junta that took over around about the same time. And the Wagner Group were working with this new military junta in the country at the same time as the French were leaving. So they've been there for a while. Now, obviously, the Wagner Group themselves are going through a bit of a transition period, if you can call it that, as it stands. And I think really what's happening is that they've had a name change, right? They've been taken in under the wing of the Russians, effectively, right? Mm. And they've been renamed the Africa Corps. So I think what's really going on here is that the leaders of the Wagner Group are probably being sent home and will probably end their days in whatever fashion Putin decides, and that an awful lot of the low-level troops will probably hang around, okay, and will be brought in and absorbed, shall we say, into this new Africa Corps that is still hanging on and is still a Russian group and is still hanging on
and
in
still
Mali.
Private, because the Africa Corps sounds
essentially,
like it.
Essentially it is. Now, whether it's a way of just, you know, getting money back to the Russian state and doing deals to mine diamonds and various other things in and around that area is another question entirely. We'll probably never find out, because they're not just operating in Mali, they're in the Central African Republic, which is where they started a couple of years before they got into Mali. But the big question is, have they actually completed their task, if indeed they're gone? And the answer to that is no. Things are actually getting worse in Mali. Just in the last 10 days, there's been three separate attacks. There was one attack in Timbuktu, where some military were killed. There was a military base, which has been evacuated by Malian soldiers. Now, they're saying the army there are saying that it was a strategic departure, effectively, and they'll be back at some stage. But in general, the situation in Mali and in the region, I know we do talk about it a lot, but it's worth keeping an eye on, because it's not getting any better. And particularly in Mali, it seems to be getting worse. These groups seem to be emboldened. And the worst thing about it is that their numbers appear to be growing as well. There's estimates that there's about 6,000 militants that belong to this particular group, the JNIM, or Jama Nusrat ul-Islam wal al-Muslimin, to give them their full title. But you can expect to hear a little bit more of these guys over the next...
Like Al-Qaeda.
They're affiliated to Al-Qaeda, but there is an ISIS group as well that are operating in the same region. Mm. The hope would be, depending on how you look at it, of course, that they'd start knocking each other out. Effectively, but at this point in time, there doesn't seem to be that much going on, and they're taking over more territory, controlling more territory, and going into other countries as well.
Mm. So the Wagner Group has gone out of Mali, but the Africa Corps is remaining there, which is basically just a rebrand. Are there official Russian troops in Mali?
Good question. I would suggest that there might be one or two, all right, that are overseeing things.
Advisors,
let's say. Yes, that's a pretty good way of putting it. But I can't say for sure. But, you know, I don't think they can be too far away.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. That's kind of a precarious one. Right, Botswana, not too far away. We're going to where they're cutting diamond production. Why?
They are. So Botswana is the second largest producer of diamonds after Russia, in fact. It produces about 20% of the world's diamonds. But in terms of its own revenue, okay, it accounts for 80% of its exports. So it's really dependent on diamonds. Okay, And in fact, we don't talk about Botswana that much, but the last time we did was November last year, and they had just had an election. And that election gave gave the country a new government from a different party for the first time since its independence in 1966, right? So obviously, you know, it was relatively stable. It's a relatively stable country, or was. But at the moment, economically, it's really suffering. And it's because of this dependence on diamonds, right? They have decided that they are going to cut the output of diamonds by 16% in comparison to 2024. And it's really, there's a few reasons why that's happening. The biggest one is that there's just a drop in demand. Because people aren't getting married as much, and the millennials aren't really into them as much because there's ethical problems. There's also increased costs, and there's also lab-grown diamonds, which pretty much look the same, but aren't as expensive. So there's competition from that as well. So there's all of these different factors, and it's really hitting the industry. And so in an effort to, I suppose, keep the prices up, but to keep the supply down, they're reducing the output.
Okay, so presumably this isn't just affecting Botswana, it's affecting Russia, and yeah, I think maybe Israel as well. Doesn't Israel cut a lot of diamonds?
It may well do, and this it might suffer as well here, because I think in an effort to improve the industry, one of the steps that Botswana is taking is that it's going to try and keep more of the raw diamonds and polish them and cut them in Botswana, which they don't do now.
Yeah.
So it would make it more of an in-house industry, if you like, which might help it a little bit, but I would think that would take a long time, you know, to kind of live up
build
to the standard
yes.
and build that reputation. So I don't think it's an immediate cure for all their problems.
Right, Indonesia. Now, this is a weird one. Right, okay. Tell us about Umar Patek first anyway, and what did Umar do?
Umar Patek is an interesting character. He was convicted of being a bomb maker in the 2000, and part of the 2002 Bali bombings, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you'll remember it, but for those who don't, 202 people were killed in Bali. I think it was in the middle of the night during a very busy period. A lot of foreigners were killed, a lot of Australians. I think there was almost 90 in total, and then a couple of Britons as well. And then obviously there was a lot of people and a lot of nationalities were affected. And Umar Patek is one of 33 people who was convicted, right? So there was other people, their sentences ranged from the death penalty. Three people were sentenced to death and were executed in 2008. And then there was others who were involved who got shorter sentences. Umar Patek, he mixed the explosives that were used in the bombs. Okay.
Okay.
And he was sentenced to 20 years in 2012. And he was let out in 2022. Now, you're giving me a curious face there because you're saying 10 years. And that's actually part of the reason why I don't really like this story so much. He actually fled Indonesia before the bombings took place, and he ended up going to the Philippines, where he became part of the Moro Islamic Revolutionary Front, if you remember them. And then he ended up in Pakistan and was arrested in Pakistan in 2011 in the same town where Osama bin Laden was later killed, right? So this was a guy who, after the Bali bombings, was still involved heavily in terrorism. Right? There's no doubt about it. And he has other convictions connected to it as well. But now he says he's reformed, and not only is he reformed, but he's launching his own coffee brand called Ramu. Okay?
Now, sorry to interrupt, John, but is that why if he was sentenced to 20 years, they let him out? He only had to serve half a sentence because he convinced them he had been reformed?
Well, I'm not sure why he was given parole. I'm not sure why he was given parole. I'm not sure if he started the coffee brand while he was in prison, but he was let out in 2022.
Yeah.
And at the time, not everybody was happy. I think even the Australian PM, Anthony Albanese, at the time, he said he had contempt for Patek and said that this would just renew trauma for the victims' families, which I imagine it does. Anyway, this coffee was launched last week to great fanfare. in the coffee shop that has turned out to be his sponsor, right? And while he was launching it, a victim of his turned up, a woman who has 70% of her body covered in burns. And she started complaining, you know, what are you doing? You should be in prison. And he was apologising and saying, look, I'm really sorry, but genuinely I feel I'm reformed. And this is part of my de-radicalisation.
But this, I mean, coffee has his face on it.
It has his face on it, yeah. And it's bizarre. I mean, I think he can be de-radicalised but still be in prison.
Yeah.
To be honest, there you go.
And is it known how this coffee is doing? Are people buying it?
Well, I think it was only launched very recently. So yeah. So I don't know if they did any, you know, test drives or whatever the equivalent is there to see. But he says it's part of his mother's mix, a special blend that she has come up with and has obviously been in the family for a very long time. But, you know, given his history of mixing things, you know, people might want to be careful.
And the people who own the coffee shop who are kind of sponsoring that, have they defended this particular action?
Yeah, so there's a businessman by the name of David Andreas Smita, and he's the owner of this coffee shop, which is in a town, it should be said, about 500 kilometres away from Bali to the north. So it's not particularly close, but it's still in the same country. And he said that he's always liked helping people and that if I let Umar be, then it would be very possible he would become a terrorist again. Now, Umar is saying that that's not going to happen. And in fact, that part of what he's going to do with the money that he gets from this is he's going to educate, you know, other people in his sphere how not to get involved in radical organisations. But that bit, you know, 10 years that he was, you know, going around the place after the Bali bombing itself, I don't know how well that sits with people.
Yeah. Right, the US we're going to go to next. Now, you don't always hear the words US and China and friendly in the same sentence, but this was a woman's soccer friendly, but then there were protests there.
I didn't know where you were going with that. Yeah. This is a woman's soccer friendly, which took place in St. Paul in Minnesota last week, I think it was. And during the football match, 8 Tibetan activists did what activists do, and they started chanting Free Tibet and holding up banners which basically said the same thing. Now, they did this right in front of the dugout, the Chinese dugout, to make their point. And the people, the coaches and the other staff, along with the substitutes, became quite irate, as you can imagine. So they asked for these protesters to be kicked out. And as they were being kicked out, the crowd got involved and they started booing the authorities who were kicking out of the stadium and started chanting, let them stay, and chanted free speech, which lots of people in America seem to be going on about at the moment. So they had kicked them out for a while and then they let them back in, but they removed the banners. Now, that didn't stop the protesters from acting. They still had the T-shirts on, the white T-shirts on with Free Tibet, and they held up the Tibetan flag, which is illegal in China, and they were allowed to continue their protest until the end of the game, which, incidentally, the USA won 3-0.
Okay. It's kind of a sweet story, really, in a way that they did change their mind. Finally, we're going to go to Sweden. Well, it's Sweden and Estonia. They rent prison spaces. Who rents from who?
Yeah, so this was a story that I saw the other day. And then I was thinking to myself this morning, this actually rang a bell with me, because in September of last year, The Telegraph broke a story about the UK government actually talking to the Estonians. I think we spoke about it here as well. Because they had their own overcrowding crisis as well, which they've haven't really solved either. But obviously Estonia was floating this idea around for a while, and Sweden, it seems, have taken them up on this offer, right? So the Estonians are saying, yeah, Sweden, you can come and you can rent our prison spaces. We'll house up to 600 inmates in a place in a city called Tartu, which has about 400 cells. Most of them are not occupied because of the low level of crime in Estonia. So the Swedes are saying, great stuff, cheaper for us, and it solves a problem. The problem that the Swedes are having is because of the increase in gang violence in the country, people are getting shot. There's quite a lot of murders happening in Sweden, which surprises many people, but it's been a problem for a few years now. So prisons are overcrowded and they need to solve it. To such an extent that after the elections in Sweden in 2022, there was a coalition agreement. I think there's about four or five parties involved. And part of the agreement that they drew up together was to come up with an idea of finding space elsewhere for these overcrowded prisons.
And who or what kind of offenders will be sent to these prisons in Estonia?
Yeah, so it'll be men only over 18, and there'll be those men who are convicted of serious crimes such as murder or sexual offences, and they'll be considered for transfer. But it'll be done on a case-by-case basis. So, serious criminals.
Yeah. And I assume that the Swedes have gone over and inspected Estonian prisons and seen are they up to spec and are the conditions as...
Yes.
As humane as they might be in a Swedish prison.
Yes, and they've tested all the law and the legal status to make sure that everything is aligned and that everything's fine, and they're saying that it is. Now, it doesn't mean that it's done and dusted, right? So the deal is going to be signed next week, we think, and then legislation has to change, and that won't happen until, I think, July of next year, they're talking about, and then it still has to get past the Houses of Parliament in Sweden.
Is it known how much they'll be paying?
So they'll be paying 8,500 per prisoner per month, apparently. And in Sweden, that would be 11,500 per month. So they're saving a bit. Still expensive.
They're saving a bit. Still expensive.
Yeah,
still
expensive.
And is it clear if an offender is sentenced to 10 years and they're sent to a prison in Estonia, once they've served the 10 years, are they sent back? Do they go back to Sweden automatically, or can they wander into Estonia?
And that is a good question. I'm not sure. I assume that the legal status will be, if they're convicted in Sweden, then the conviction will carry and
they
would be brought back to Sweden.
Yeah.
But it's a good question. I'm not 100% sure.
Interesting to find out actually why the crime rate is so low in Estonia.
Oh, sorry, in Estonia. Sorry, yeah. I thought you were going to ask about Sweden. Yeah. Yes, it would be indeed. I'm not 100% sure.
Right, so what should we look out for over the next week or so?
Yeah, June 13th. What are we on now? The 10th. So June 13th, sentencing for two men who have been found guilty over the theft of a gold toilet. This was the toilet that was stolen from Blenheim Palace, where Winston Churchill was born. And it was actually created by that artist, Maurizio Cattelan. He's the guy who had that sculpture of the Pope being hit by a comet. I don't know if you've ever seen it. He's quite controversial. Anyway, the gold toilet was stolen, and one man has already been sentenced for that, and he's been sent down for 21 months. So these two guys can probably expect the same. And then the following day, the US Army parade marking Donald Trump's birthday will happen, which is unbelievably on the same day that King Charles attends the Trooping of the Colour, which is, of course, to celebrate the King's birthday in the United Kingdom.
My word. The G7 summit is on?
On Sunday, yeah. Canada is hosting that. So an interesting weekend in that part of the world.
Okay, so at least some of the grown-ups will be doing stuff. Jonathan, thanks a million as ever. Jonathan DeVerka Butler there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Parents of tweens, if you're familiar with far-off drop-offs...
Dad, stop, right here.
Or get DMs about what's for dinner, you may be experiencing tween milestones. For your son or daughter, these can start at age 9. HPV vaccination, a type of cancer prevention against certain HPV-related cancers, can start then too.
For most, HPV clears on its own. But for those who don't clear the virus, it can cause certain cancers later in life.
Embrace this phase. Help protect them in the next.
Ask their doctor today about HPV vaccination. Brought to you by Merck.